Hello everybody and welcome to the War Room. This one is for a feature bout on the upcoming One on Prime Video 5 card. This is Roberto Soldic's One Championship debut. I had to do a video on this. Very, very excited about this. Now, Soldic, if you're into MMA, if you've been following it for a while, you know who this guy is. You're excited to see him getting this opportunity to move on to One Championship and start challenging for one of their titles, because I don't think it's going to be long before we see him there. Now, his opponent is Murad Ramazanov, who's a very difficult, undefeated wrestler, a very challenging first fight for Soldic, and someone that could potentially steal all of Soldic's offense away and shut him down and beat him up and grind him into the canvas and make it a very frustrating night for him. Lots of reasons to be excited for this. I think Murad is a very tough test, but I also think that Roberto Soldic is gonna win over a lot of fans. He's got 20 wins and 3 losses on his record, only 27 years old as well. I feel like he's been in MMA for a long time, because people have been talking about him for a long time. Okay, so 20 wins and 3 losses for Soldic, 11 wins with 0 losses for Ramazanov. On Soldic's record, out of 20 wins, he's knocked 17 people out, which is an 85% knockout rate. Ridiculous. He's got one submission on his record as well, which is a guillotine, which was very early in his career. And I would imagine he punched somebody and they jumped into a guillotine so they didn't get knocked out. That's generally why strikers end up having submissions on their record, in my experience. And Soldic, although he is a very well-rounded mixed martial artist, he's very much a striker in mixed martial arts. He's also had 4 boxing matches undefeated with 4 knockouts, 100% knockout ratio in boxing as well. Ramazanov is far more of an all-round fighter. Actually started with boxing at the age of 12, and I found this interesting because freestyle wrestling is the national sport in Dagestan. But because of the coaching style, he didn't like it, so he ended up gravitating towards Greco. But you can see that there's this nice merge in his game between freestyle and Greco, because he's very good at level changing and getting his hands on his opponents. But then when he runs up into a body lock and closes their hips down, this is when you really see his skills come into play. And I'm going to show you a few of these things as well. 4 stoppages on his record, 3 submissions as well, 1 guillotine, 2 rear naked chokes. Again, you know, the rear naked choke, it couples perfectly with this style of wrestling. Grab a leg, drag them to the floor, body lock them, pick them up, slam them to the floor, pass their guard, beat them up from mount until they turn their back, and there's the rear naked choke. That is very much the system that Soldic might find himself in if he's not able to stuff the takedowns. Okay, let me show you a couple of bits of Soldic first, because he's a devastating striker, and he has this presence in front of his opponents as well, where usually he can take space away from them in the cage without really being too aggressive. He doesn't really need to extend himself too much. Now, regardless of the stance, and Murad does switch his stance, I think that's more of a preference down to which leg he wants to shoot off, but Soldic is southpaw, so whatever Ramazanov needs to do to be able to level change onto that lead leg, that's the stance that we're going to see him working out of. And I'm not exactly sure what his preference is. He seems to be quite flexible with it, but that is something to keep in mind when you're watching the fight. Soldic holds people against the fence with his presence, and he chips away at them with low kicks. So he then makes them feel like they can't get away from him. A very, very exciting fighter to watch. And I think he's going to try and pressure Murad straight away. He's going to want to set a big impression in his One Championship debut. But look how cautious he is here. You can see, because he knows his opponent's trying to level change, look how fast that sprawl is. Like, you can see him kind of, like the way that he stands, you can see him kind of tempting his opponent to do something. You'll see a lot of, If his opponent is standing orthodox with Soldic being southpaw, you'll see a lot of this hand play here, but you'll also see him keeping this left hand chambered right on his chin, because this is the point where it's going to be fired from. And you can tell that his opponent is cautious of that, because they always can see that weapon is ready to fire. And you can kind of see him hanging back, and he'll tempt space. But if his opponent attacks first, this is when you start seeing these wild bursts. And it looks quite chaotic. It looks quite wildly aggressive. But when you actually watch, you can see his eyes are on his opponent all the time. He knows exactly what he's aiming for, but also his response when he sees them level change to take him down. That super quick sprawl that he's got is going to be very, very important in this fight. He's going to have to get his hips away from Murad. Okay, and then back against the fence under pressure. Tried to level change, tried to push him back with a body kick, and then he starts launching shots to the body. And once his opponent starts to crumble, he's quite happy to follow them to the floor. He would much rather the fight be on the feet. But if they are hurt and if he feels like he can dominate them on the floor without putting himself at too much risk, he will. And you can see what he did there. He used an arm triangle threat to drive his way through his opponent's half guard. You can see this leg here. He's currently caught in half guard. But you can also see that he's got that arm triangle around the upper body. Now, he's able to put some squeeze on it, but not the kind of pressure that he would need to cause a tap. But what it allows him to do is it allows him to walk himself up and slide that knee through to drop himself into mount. And then again, he threatens the arm triangle briefly here, but ultimately what he's interested in here is unleashing his heavy hands. He's got very, very powerful hands, particularly his left hand, which, as you can see, favours. And this is him clinching the middleweight championship over at KSW. Even if he is backed up against the fence, he has certain patterns where he can set his opponent up and use a single shot to put them out. Now, the reason why this works, and go back and watch this fight because it is a very, very entertaining one. Soldich has been working this left hand into the midsection of Khalidov. He's landed two or three good digging shots to the body, and it started to, Khalidov started to recognize that this is a target that Soldich is going for. Now, the way that not necessarily the technique itself, but the delivery of it, the feint that he uses with the eye line and with the body posture, is very, very much like the way that Canelo knocks out Kovalev. He's been working that left hook to the body, and then he postures to the left hook, and then he goes up to the head. You'll see the same thing here with Soldich. So what you'll notice is that as Soldich backs up here, he's going to level change and he's going to drop his hand behind him. Now, he's doing this intentionally because ultimately he wouldn't want to be throwing a punch from all the way back here because his opponent's going to see it coming. But if the point is for your opponent to see it coming, it makes sense to give him that read. So what you'll notice is as Soldich lunges forward with his lead leg and drops his level, he drops this left hand back, and you'll notice that Khalidov brings his hands down to protect his body. He's doing this because he's already assuming that left hand is firing into his midsection again, and he's already been softened up there, so he's not going to want that to land again. You'll also notice as well that Soldich's eye level will change. He looks down at the body. It's difficult to see at this with this angle, but he looks down to the midsection, like identifying his target in his opponent's mind, but then changes the trajectory of the punch and comes up to the chin. I'll play it full speed because you have to see how fast he makes this adjustment. I mean, you barely see that punch. It's so fast. Beautiful, right? Beautiful. I'm going to play this in slow motion, and then we've got a couple of replays of it. But I could watch this punch all day. Especially because there's a reason behind it. There's a thought process behind it. He's been working this into the midsection over and over again. He softened up that target. Oh. Look at the position that Khalidov's hands are in. You can see he's trying to pour a body shot down. Amazing timing. Let's have a look at these replays. I mean, I could literally just watch this all day. There's the subtlety of the feint that he uses. Looks down at the body. Here it is. Here we go. And we can see it a bit better with this replay. Look at his eye line. Look how he drops his head intentionally. He's looking at the head now. And you can pull this up yourself. You can watch this yourself. But his eyes are looking straight into Khalidov's eyes. But then there's a moment where he consciously drops his head and drops the back hand. and then comes up to the open chin where there's no guard. Oh, and this was a brutal knockout as well. It really was beautiful. Pow. Done. One shot. Maybe one more for good luck. So, if you've got Soldic backed up against the fence, you can't be pressuring relentlessly and biting on feints all the time, because he's gonna give you things to bite on. He's going to hurt you with something, and then he's going to set you up with that pain to open up another target. This is where Soldic brings a level of striking to mixed martial arts that very, very few fighters are able to attain. There's a beauty in it, because it's almost like hacking into his opponent's brain. It's making them do things that he wants them to do, setting traps. And it's not the only time he does it. Like you'll see this a few times where he'll use this to open up opportunities. Very, very adaptable striking. The problem is, though, of course, to be a striker, you've got to put yourself within reach of your opponent. And Soldic, although he has got very heavy hands, he does like to kick a lot. My concern in this fight for him is that he's going to come out, he's going to start throwing low kicks and then maybe body kicks, and Ramazanov is going to grab a hold of a leg and run it up into a body lock. Because this is what we see with Ramazanov. He's very, very good at just getting a fingertip on his opponent and then drawing them in to a full control. And Soldic has got very good takedown defense, but it's much more about people shooting from a distance and getting his hips away, which will be useful if he can keep his opponent at reach. But if he starts stepping in with these power shots, that's when Ramazanov is gonna level change. Or, of course, if Soldic decides he wants to throw some kicks. Because this is, you know, something that Ramazanov is very... I mean, literally, look at that. He only gets a hold of Tetsuka's foot for a moment. He's just got a hold of his ankle for a moment, because he's going to lose this grip, but he's got it for long enough to slow him down. Gone. Now he's lost his grip. But what you'll notice is his opponent's turned and started to run away, but his hips have stayed in the same place. Look at that. His hips have stayed in the same place, but Ramazanov's already started moving forward. So by the time he's turned away and he's about to get his other foot to the floor, there are already hands around him. he's just able to draw him in. This is something very consistent. So if you throw a kick at him, he can catch it and slow you down temporarily while he runs into your hips. Or if he level changes onto you, he just needs to get one hand on an ankle or one hand on the back of a knee, and he might be able to pull you in enough to be able to get his hands around you. You have to be very quick to get away from him. And once he's on your hips, it'd be very, very difficult to get him off. He's going to stay on in this position, and he's going to manhandle you until you get tired or you expose your neck. I mean, just really nice control all around, especially against the fence, but even out in the open. I mean, that's effortless for him. And here he is under pressure. You can see he's backed up against the fence here that reaches in. And now this is a very nice takedown. He throws the overhand to get his opponent leaning, which leaves this lead leg closer to him. Right? You can see his head's all the way back here, but this hip is much closer to him, which makes it easier for him to level change and grab that leg before he's able to retract it. Grabs it. Pulls the leg in. And what you'll notice as well is that his opponent will kick his leg straight between Ramazanov's legs. And Ramazanov is going to clamp it with his knees. You see how he's pinching his knees together there? So he's holding this leg in between his knees for a moment, which allows him then to release with his hands and go up to the body. See how he's pinching that leg? And he's able to let go. And there we go. Straight around the waist while this foot is trapped. And then he's on the body. And then he's got you up against the fence where your hips are as close to him as he wants them to be. And then he's able to pick his opponents up and slam them to the floor again, effortlessly. And this control and manipulation of hips of his opponents is almost like a second sense for him. Because what you'll notice is as his opponents are trying to scramble to improve their position, he just flattens them out with his hips. He does this like rocking backwards and forwards that smashes them into the ground. Like, watch his hips here as he works past his opponent. So his opponent opens his guard, slides near across the belt line. So straight away, Ramazanov is going to drop his hip on his right side and kick his right leg over. Then he's going to drop his hips again on the right side. This puts all of the weight down into his opponent's midsection, and it also creates a shield here. Now, his opponent can't see past his body. What he can do is he can feel that this hand is on his knee, but he can't see it. So there's a lot of mystery going on here. And what you'll notice with Ramazanov is he will hold this position and he'll punch in the body until his opponent's expecting more punches, and then he'll push on the knee and slide his leg through. But if they read that, then he'll start attacking the Kimura. He's got a really nice pattern throughout his game. So in this position here, when he's driving his weight onto his opponent, and he's also got this hand, so he's pushing this knee away to try and slide this leg through. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of things for his opponent to be thinking about. And most of the time, they've been slammed to the mat a couple of times, so that disorientation is still calming itself down. Just strong, strong pressure. Look at that drive through. Hand on the knee, and you can see he's using his head here. He's dropped his head really low here, so his opponent can't swing this arm around and start manipulating this wrist. You'll see what I mean, because I've got a clip a bit later on where his opponent is doing a decent job of defending in the beginning. But watch how his opponent swings his arm around here, and you can see Ramazanov drop it and keep this arm on the back of his head, just so he can't get his fingertips to this knee to stop it sliding through. And especially he can't get his hand to this wrist to take his control off of this knee. Pressures into the knee, slides through. Now his knee's to the floor and he just pinches. And it doesn't really matter if his opponents turn away, because as you can see, he's already got a hook on this near side. So if they start turning away, he just takes their back and the near side hook slips in as well. And there we go, two hooks straight in, effortlessly. And because he has such good like kind of rodeo control, if you like, with his hips and his knees, he's able to a lot of the time take both of his hands off the floor and just drum away on his opponent until they've had enough, until the referee steps in. Because his ability to clamp and clinch them with his legs, it frees up both of his arms. You know, if he's able to take Soldic to the floor, it's going to be really problematic for Soldic to get back to his feet. And the pressure of making his one championship debut as well means that, you know, he's going to want to spend no time at all on his shoulders. He wants to come in and absolutely blast Ramazanov out of the water and make sure that everybody in one championship knows that he's arrived. If he's taken down that first round and he loses that first round because he's been controlled from top position and he may have escaped his hips, but he's been remounted and he escapes again and gives his back, you know, this process could be exhausting in the first round, then in the second round, and before he knows it, 10 minutes of the fight has gone and he has 5 minutes left to make a real impact on this opponent or on the judges. And that additional pressure makes it easier to take him down because he's going to be overextending. Now, of course, this is where the experience of Soldic comes into play. But it's still got to be measured. And something that may be useful for him, because he does have a very good tendency of attacking the body, utilizing that feint to get his opponent to move his hands away, or even better, as we know with Ramazanov, if Soldic is throwing a kick, to get his opponent to reach for the leg. Because for a wrestler that doesn't want to be standing in striking range with someone with an 85% knockout statistic, it would be very, very tempting to grab a leg. It feels safe to be grabbing hold of your opponent so you can wrestle up. I mean, he's been wrestling on streets with his friends since he was 10, according to his bio. He's an interesting individual, and you can tell that there's a comfort in the clinch. Soldic won't allow you that. If he can stop you from the outside, he's going to do that. And he's going to be patiently stalking and waiting for you to commit to something before he punishes you. But you can see he's not charging in here. He's not overextending himself. This is Dricus du Plessis. And he does the same thing here with the ankle. Catches it for a moment. But of course, priorities are different. Catches the ankle for a moment, slows his opponent down. But instead of trying to take him down, he's just going to club him with that big left hand. Like, the priority is always keep the fight on the feet. Look at this beautiful sprawl and watch how he circles away from the fence as well, so he's not getting tangled up. Like, this is going to be a key against Ramazanov, who wants to get this hand on this leg and then draw the hips together. Like, look at the distance between the hips at the moment. That's too much from Ramazanov. But if he can drive Soldic towards the fence like this, but Soldic is too wise for this. Look how he circles. Look how he circles himself away from the fence. So the distance between the hips still stays the same. Circle, circle, circle. And then he'll wait and post on the head and again, wait for that reshot. Like this is where his experience and wisdom comes into play, because he's not just posting and standing up. He's expecting that second shot. And then he starts working the body. Lovely, powerful kick to the body. And this is a key in this fight, because he starts doubling it up. And this is where it would be very useful if he starts throwing kicks to the body against Ramazanov and Ramazanov starts reaching for them. Because if he's reaching for a leg, he's not guarding his head. And watch what happens here. So Soldic is going to throw this left leg to the midsection of Duplessis. And Duplessis is going to try and catch it. You see how he reaches down, blocking it or catching it. The point is both of his hands are down at that kick. And what you'll see Soldic do, which is a very difficult thing to do. Ramon Dekkers used to be very good at this. What you'll see Soldic do is he fires the same hand as the leg. So he goes left leg, left hand. Left leg, left hand. Left leg, left hand. It's a very difficult thing to do, especially to generate power. Now, he didn't knock him down with that, but he certainly felt his opportunity out. And when the opportunity arises again, which it does in a moment, again, a lovely sprawl, posting on the head, attacking the body. Watch this finishing sequence. It really is beautiful. Again, most likely too fast for you to see the first time around, but it's the left hand that does it again. But the reason it works is because he fires his left leg first. He fires a knee to the midsection, which brings the arm of his opponent down and opens up the chin. Let's show on the replay so it's a bit clearer. Here we go. Throws the knee to the midsection. Lands fairly well. You can see that compression into the rib cage, the diaphragm, which you know for sure knocked the wind out of him. But as soon as that knee comes away and the hand comes down, he just touches him on the chin. Just the tap on the chin with that left hand. And it's enough. And the one of the reasons why it works so well is because of the way that Duplessis' head is moving towards the punch. As he bounces off the fence, he gets hit by the knee, and you can see he's turning his head away from the knee, and then he turns his head back onto the punch. So you've got a little bit of forces meeting as the punch lands. But the setup was because of the knee. It was really nice. Knee, punch. Like, these are the kind of tricks that would be really, really useful against Ramazanov if he's starting reaching for legs. Bit of chaos to start with. Catches him on the chin. Pauses for a moment. Knee, punch. There you go. You can see the head pivoting slightly, pivoting back towards the punch, which is one of the reasons why it was so powerful. Knee. You see his head's turning back towards the punch. Very excited for this debut. My goodness. You've got to watch this. You've got to watch this fight. So that was a beautiful knockdown. But again, you know, the danger against Murad is that he's going to try and get his hands on you. He's going to draw you in. And there are so many good examples against Kadastan, which of course was a big win on his record. He felt very much like he deserved a title shot after this. But I would say that Soldic is such a big name that there's a credential in beating him alone. It would certainly make Ramazanov far more well known internationally against the casual MMA fan. And like, all of these examples here are exactly the same thing, reinforces the same thing. Gets a hand to his opponent. Like, look at this. Overhand. Just gets a hand to the inside of his leg. Reaching. There's the hand on the inside of his leg. Now he's got a little bit of the hamstring. And he's going to pull himself towards that and drive him up into the fence. Again. Once he's into the fence, that's when the hips are together. And this is where Greco comes into play. And watch how easy it is for him to he elevates people with his hips and with his upper legs. Like this. Here we go. Watch how he elevates there. Look, he elevates, and then as Kadastam's starting to fall to the floor, you'll see him hook with the same leg that he's pushed off. There's actually quite a lot going on in this takedown. I've watched it several times. So he using the body lock. So of course he's got this body lock. He's going to pull the body lock in the direction of the center of the circle, and he's going to get his weight off the fence. There, and you can see he's on his tiptoes here. He's elevating his opponent, lifting him up onto his near side hip. Now he kind of as he kicks his leg here. I'm not sure whether he catches the fence or kicks off it intentionally, but he certainly kicks. And then he hooks the back leg. There you go. You can see it just hooking there as his opponent starts to fall down. And then lands covering that leg. Really nice. Lovely wrestling. And this is what I'm talking about with this play of the hand to pass the guard. So you can see here he's posting on the knee here. He's trying to push this knee down so he can slide this knee through and take a mount position. And Kadastam's doing the right thing by keeping this arm up in this direction because he doesn't want it to be pulled down into a Kimura position. But at the same time, he doesn't want to be passed and mounted. So what you'll notice is as Ramazanov starts to push down here, you'll see Kadastam reaching for that wrist. But then as soon as he feels like that's vulnerable, because you can... there are a few different games being played here by Ramazanov, because yes, he is trying to pass to mount, but of course if you're going to give him that Kimura, he'll take that as well. So as he goes to post on the knee, you see Kadastam go for the wrist, and immediately he switches to start to try and attack this Kimura, at which point Kadastam goes back around the head, which means that the arm is safe again, well, momentarily. So he goes back to pushing on the knee, and then the knee's exposed. And then the hand comes down and posts on the knee here. And of course, that's not going to be able to stop it. It's just going to expose him for the Kimura. And we can't see this going on right now. But again, you know, as we were talking about before, like, he can't see what's going on. Everything that's going on below the chest of Kadastam is kinesthetic awareness. He doesn't know what Ramazanov's looking at. He doesn't know whether he's eyeing up this Kimura or whether he's thinking about driving down on the knee to start passing. So he's always going to be a step behind based on what he feels, not what he sees. Now, Ramazanov's got the advantage of being on top position and being the shield, so Kadastam can't see his lower body. So he can keep playing these different games. He can keep attacking the Kimura or keep posting on the knee and trying to drive his leg through. And eventually he gets there. You know, he just keeps playing these back and forth. And this is in the first round. This is when Kadastam's doing a really good job of defending. But this soon passes. It gets to the stage where he's just stepping into mount. You can see he's gone for this Kimura, and Kadastam's tucked his elbow in close to his side, which means that Ramazanov can't get his arm underneath and get the Kimura lock. So he keeps it pinned to his hip and starts landing some strikes. I'm talking so much about this, when in actuality you watch it through and it all happens in a very short period of time. Let's watch. Let me see if I can commentate it. So drives over with his shoulder, goes to post on the leg. Kadastam reads it. He gets his Kimura attack, so he defends that. Ramazan postures up, drives him back to the floor, goes back to post on the leg. I can't keep up with it. There's so many things going on. Attacking the Kimura, postures up because he knows he can't get it, lands a few strikes. Kadastam hips out and sits up, and what you'll see is Ramazanov drive him back flat. And he goes back to the same system, hand on the knee, starts pushing down on the knee. Kadastam comes back and grabs the wrist. This time he fires the wrist over towards the canvas and just drives his knee to the floor, and then he's in kind of a three-quarter mount. I talked a lot then. There was just so many things going on, and it's easy to miss these games being played, and they're exhausting if you're on the bottom position. Like, straight into the hips, drives his opponent to the fence. Watch how he drags his hips away there. I've got a replay of it in a second. Watch how he drags his hips away from the fence. Look at that clamp that he's got on the body. Drags him away from the fence and drives him into the floor. never loses space here. Never allows that space to separate. Even as he pulls him away from the fence, he drives himself down, lands shoulder first into the chest of his opponent. Again, it's exhausting. And you go from being in one position to escaping to feeling like you're in a better one. And of course, knees to the head. That's going to be something interesting for Soldic to deal with. Might be a very useful technique for him to use as well. But ultimately, he just doesn't really want to be tangled up against Ramazanov on the floor. Like these elbows, I wish I was trying to find another angle of it. But watch this elbow here. Right at the side of the head there. Opens him up really, really well. And, you know, again, Soldic doesn't want to be cut. He doesn't want to be controlled. He doesn't want to be taken down. He wants to come in. He wants to make a statement in his debut. And Ramazanov is the kind of fighter that can put you through this torrid, exhaustive process until you crack. And even if Soldic doesn't crack, you know, getting beaten up over the 15 minutes is not what he's envisaging for his one championship debut. What I'm expecting from it is that he's going to be able to stuff a lot of Ramazanov's takedowns, and then he's going to try and get this system of striking into place where he can land one of these knockout shots. But that's easier said than done. And Ramazanov's got that undefeated fighter confidence. He's also got 3 fights under his belt in one championship, which means that, you know, it's far more familiar for him. And there's far less pressure on him, even though he's the undefeated fighter. Getting a win over Soldic is huge. But of course, most people watching this will be Soldic fans expecting him to get a big win here. And that has a unique pressure in its own right. Very, very excited for this fight. I'm sure you can tell. It is one of the feature bouts on one on Prime Video 5. Make sure you check it out. The main event is for the light heavyweight championship. René Darida defending against Anatoly Malkin. A really good card. One on Prime Video 5. Make sure you check it out. Enjoy the fights, and I'll see you next time.